Does a different writing style show convincingly that Ephesians is a forgery? By Bart Ehrman. When I've talked about the disputed Pauline letters, the ones that scholars have argued were not written by Paul, even though the author claims to be Paul, I've pointed out that one reason for thinking so is that the writing style of, say, Ephesians is significantly different from what you find in Paul's undisputed letters, such as Romans and 1 Corinthians. Some readers have asked whether this argument is compromised by the fact that so many of Paul's letters claim to be co-authored. Colossians, for example, claims to be from Paul and Timothy. But 1 Corinthians claims to be from Paul and Sosthenes. If they were jointly authored, wouldn't we expect differences in writing style? And so how convincing is this argument? That's a good question. I deal with it in my book Forgery and Counterforgery, which was published by Oxford University Press in 2013, and I deal with it on pages 212 and 213. The book is written for scholars, but this particular discussion is not particularly difficult. Here's what I had to say about the issue there, and you'll notice that I adopt a rather polemical tone. I was a bit more feisty back then. Other scholars have wanted to insist that we need to take seriously the fact that Paul's other letters were co-authored and that, as a result, we should expect large differences in content and especially vocabulary and style in comparison with letters such as the pastoral epistles and Ephesians that he produced himself. On the surface of the matter, this seems like a sensible objection and certainly worth considering. One obvious problem is that the letters in question differ not only in choice of words and stylistic preferences, but also, quite seriously, in substance. Are we to think that Paul signed off on the content of the earlier letters without agreeing in what they actually had to say? There is, however, a larger problem with the assertion that co-authored letters will naturally differ from single-author letters. Where is the evidence? Luke Timothy Johnson has asserted that this solution can explain why the pastoral epistles may differ so much from the other Pauline letters, but he offers not a single shred of proof. Now, this is odd for a number of reasons, not least of which is the fact that Johnson has made an outstanding career out of showing how parallels in the Greco-Roman environment can illuminate the writings of the New Testament in terms of genre, theme, vocabulary, rhetoric, and so on. The similarities of the New Testament literature with the literature of its surroundings provide lasting insights into its character and the force of its rhetoric. But when it comes to the Deutero-Pauline letters, Johnson wants to argue that the key to their interpretation is a phenomenon for which he cannot, or at least does not, cite a single parallel or analogy from antiquity, joint composition of letters, or, in modern parlance, composition by committee. Why would this explanation for the distinctive character of the Deutero-Pauline letters be preferable to one for which there are abundant parallels and analogies scattered throughout all of antiquity? That is to say, the use of literary forgery. Something similar can be said of Michael Pryor's use of the same argument in his study of 2 Timothy. Pryor, at least, does try to find some evidence. After a diligent search, he locates some 18 instances of co-authored letters from various ancient sources, mainly the papyri. After examining them, he states, "We have no way of knowing how the letters were composed or what part each member of the co-authorship team played." And that is precisely right. We have literally not a single clue. But then, in the very next sentence, Pryor claims, "The indications are that the writers are on an equal footing." But what indications would those be if the examples do not give us any clues? Later, coming to the Pauline corpus, Pryor asserts, "When seen against the background of ancient co-authored letters, one would expect a real co-authorship for those letters." Yet he provides no analysis of the ancient co-authored letters that would lead us to think that they should appear stylistically or materially different from single-authored letters. This is a case made by assertion. If there is evidence to be adduced, then someone ought to adduce it. Until that happens, historians should be loath to accept as the most probable assertion one that has no demonstrable ancient analogy, in preference to what is abundantly attested in myriads of places, that forgers produced works that differed stylistically and material from those of the authors in whose name they wrote.